Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. We are looking at encouragement from the heart of God, digging into the scriptures and what encouragement really is, and how to be an encourager.
The Lord said about that He is the head and we are the body. And if one member of the body hurts, we all suffer. Yeah. We don't necessarily realize how, but the unity is broken. And so to have encouragers helping to maintain the unity, helping us to look to 1 Corinthians 13, to love one another and to believe all things and to hope all things and sometimes even endure all things. Mm-hmm.
You have some scriptures that you're going to share with us about encouragement.
I just want to take us to 1 Thessalonians 5, because for some of us, we wish that encouragement was warm, fuzzy words or hugs or just making each other feel good. And yet that word encouragement is also used as a word exhorter. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, it tells us to be at peace among yourselves. And then it says, we exhort you, or that would be encourage you, to warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, and see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursuing what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Now, the eye-opener here is that encouragement also includes warning the unruly. Now, that might seem hard and harsh, but you know, if someone is about to go off the cliff and they cannot see that their footing is not on a solid foundation, I wouldn't want to throw them a kiss.
Right.
I would want to warn them, watch out, or I would want to be able to grab them and pull them out of harm's way.
Right.
So sometimes exhorting may not be the most pleasant of words as far as just feel good, but warning can save us from a life of disaster. And then we need to have that discernment to know how to uphold the weak. Because we wouldn't want to warn the weak, we could really crush them.
Right.
And the faint-hearted that may be doubting and troubled, then we want to be able to comfort them with the security of the Jesus Christ and the scriptures and the word that He has given. So the encourager also needs to be discerning and sensitive in how we encourage one another.
Right.
Well, and we are all encouraged to encourage one another, but there is a gift that is exhortation, which is really encouragement. And if that is your chief motivation gift, then whether we recognize it or not, everything we do comes from the motivational gift if we are a believer. Mm-hmm. So we're all encouraged to encourage one another, but some of us just have that as our one of our chief gifts. Now, this is one of the biggest encouragements to me in the scripture on how a word fitly spoken at the right time can change the course of history. There was a man named Joseph whose nickname was Barnabas, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. And Barnabas was used when Paul had his conversion. And he wanted to go from killing the Christians to ministering to the Christians.
Right.
And the Christians were a little gun shy. And they didn't know if they really wanted Paul around. Wait a minute, Barnabas. This is the fellow who's put us into prison.
Exactly.
And this is the fellow who's tried to kill us. And now you're telling us you want us to bring him into our intimate church life? Mm-hmm. And yet Barnabas had the right words. I would hope that they would have been a fulfillment of Proverbs 16:24 that says that pleasant words are as honeycomb and are for good for the soul and healing to the bones. And Barnabas must have been a good encourager because he encouraged the leaders in Jerusalem to accept Paul. Now you say, okay, that's good. So what's the big deal? Paul then had a ministry that took him into the highs and lows of living and through much persecution. Mm-hmm. But out of it, Sharon, we have 21 of the 27 books of the New Testament.
That is so amazing.
Because Barnabas was an encourager. And he did that on many different accounts. Paul at one point had a fallout with John Mark, and they parted and went their separate ways. But good old Barnabas in there reconciling, mm-hmm. getting one to think of like mind, and to place the desire of God the Father before mm-hmm. our own thinking or emotions, reconciled Paul to where instead of Paul saying, hey, you just take John Mark and you go, he was saying, go find John Mark and bring him. He's mm-hmm. needful for the ministry.
Yeah. And that's, and again, healing.
The healing.
The healing.
Oh, yes. And bringing the unity, not for to rule, but just to bring the truth of what the Lord said about that he is the head and we are the body. And if one member of the body hurts, we all suffer. Yeah. We don't necessarily realize how, but the unity is broken. And so to have encouragers mm-hmm. helping to maintain the unity, helping us to look to 1 Corinthians 13, to love one another and to believe all things and to hope all things and sometimes even endure all things. Mm-hmm. And as you and I were talking earlier, if we would obey that one command, not to take into an account a wrong suffered, don't you think that would probably correct about 90% of the marriage problems and 90% of the church relationship problems?
Absolutely.
So we need to have people who know the character of God, who are grounded in the scriptures, that they can take the scriptures that will be comfort and healing and be able to give a timely word when you hear a negative from another saint.
Right. And that happens quite a bit. And a lot of times we don't know how to handle that because we want to encourage them. And so we think encouragement and we think patting on the back and saying everything's going to be okay, when what we need to do is exhort and say, okay, but you shouldn't be spreading this gossip. Here's what scripture says. You know, we need to have those scriptures right there.
And the Lord says, I think it's in Peter, that love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
And when the enemy places the thought, you know, you should let them know that such and such is doing such and such, then that still small voice says, but love covers. Mm-hmm. So how can you help build up even where there is maybe an affront between two people or a misunderstanding? And I find that going to love brings the heart into an accountability. And if it doesn't soften Sharon, it will bring out a stronger measure of the flesh that many times will cause the person to see and hear their own waywardness in their attitude.
Right.
And a lot of times I will have people say, oh, wow, I needed to hear that today, Janie, or thank you for saying that. That causes me to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be surprised at the number of people that respond positively when they know your heart is really wanting to edify and encourage
from
and build.
Scripture.
From Scripture.
And that's the key, because if we're just saying, oh, it's okay, you know, don't worry about it, it'll be all right. Well, how do I know it'll be all right?
Words
mean nothing.
It's like, says who?
Says who?
So my opinions and my perception of right and wrong, people should not be interested in, because it has no value unless it is from the mind of God.
Right.
So why not just use the words of God, expressing the mind of God for the healing that God has given us.
Right.
And so let's touch for a second on what if we decide we don't want to do this? What if we decide it's too painful? And instead of people responding properly the way we would hope most do, some don't. And so we get a backlash. We get a stab in the back. We get a wound. Well, what do we do? I like to go look at the human side of Elijah, a man with like passions.
Mm-hmm.
And he got into big time discouragement. And it's so surprising, because before he got discouraged, he had stopped the rain. He had started the rain. He had called down fire after he had wet the altar and the sacrifice.
Yes.
And put additional water all around mm-hmm. the trough. And fire came down, and he patiently waited for the false prophets to do everything they could to get mm-hmm. their gods. And he just waited it out. And then after doing miracle after miracle, I imagine he was emotionally spent. And so what happens? Jezebel says, I'll do to you within 24 hours what you've done to my prophets. And what does the man do?
Runs.
And runs and runs.
And hides.
And how does God encourage him?
He sends a raven to bring him food.
And tells him to sleep a while.
Mm-hmm.
Wakes him up, lets him eat, and has him go back to sleep again. Because he needs to renew his physical energies, his emotional energies, his thinking. The Lord knows the next leg that he's going to have him do, and he knows that he has to equip him. I like to say God intervenes at this point. He doesn't let Elijah just sit there in the dumps, discouraged as he was, but God intervenes in a very creative way of using an unclean bird to bring the food. And so we need to remember that God is always so creative in his encouragement. And we need to let him tell us sometimes there is a problem. And Sharon, immediately, there will be no human solution.
Right.
But the encourager will say, but Lord, that doesn't discourage me because you're the God that created the foundations of the world. And you, Genesis 1 tells us how you can do things. So you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, create. Create a solution that may not even be in existence at this moment. And let me be the eyes of that miracle. And that happens so many times when I pray that prayer. And it's like he has said, I change not. I am as creative as when I began the world. Call upon my creativity as a loving God. Let me show you the diversity and the originality of my character in creating solutions to problems. And I love to call upon his creative. And what he did is after he got Elijah encouraged, then he sent him to the next place to encourage others. And then he went through another series of discouragements. And you can go to 1 Kings and start in at about 15, 18, 19, 20, 21, and just see the revolving door that the Lord allowed Elijah to go through so that he could encourage others, so that he would have a deeper understanding as he was encouraged himself as to how to pass that on. And that can be also applied to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We have been comforted, just not for our comfort, but so that we know how to comfort each other. And we encourage one another as we comfort one another.
Now, don't you think that having a mentor, seeking one out, somebody to do Christian life with, having that person, don't you think that that's important? And you really have become a mentor to me, not because I asked you to be one, but just simply because we would have these conversations and sharing with each other and being together. And just one day, I'd always walk away feeling encouraged and uplifted and that desire to dig in and draw closer to the Lord. And one day I just felt like that God was leading me to do that on the air so that not just you and I get to share in those conversations, but we get to share those conversations with the listeners.
And, you know, the beautiful thing about it is he has provided not only the physical strength, the mental and the emotional strength, but the heart desire to be able to share who he is in a mentoring fellowship with you each week.
I mean, I know we have our time that we come together, as Hebrews tells us, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But, you know, churches have gotten so big today that many times it's hard to get to know people.
Don't you think that when we come together, if we don't break up into small groups, that we have some spiritual socializing? And that's not that that's not good. If we're socializing in the spirit, that is always beneficial. But we're not going to reveal our hearts, probably, or our secret hurts if we're all standing around chit-chatting, even if it's about the things of the Lord.
Right.
So seeing someone across fellowship hall that you know that you have been through some deep waters with, there's just almost a bonding with eye contact.
Right.
And so it's always a comfort when I see the two or three people that I know in my life that I can look to that are going to encourage me. And when I hear their name, my heart is even encouraged because I know them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have cared about me at a time when others may have just been socially polite.
Right.
And the scriptures command us not only to encourage one another, but daily. And so that means we've got to be in fellowship with one another. And encouragement never is a one-way street. As you encourage me, hopefully I encourage you and vice versa. And hopefully as people listen to us share the Lord's successes and our failures, that he turns into successes for his glory, that they can say, yes, this is something that encourages me just listening to those girls encourage each other.
Yeah. Well, as a babe in Christ, it was important for me to look to somebody to be able to emulate. But as I have gotten older in my spiritual walk, it's nice to have somebody to do my Christian life with, you know.
Yes.
You know, when we know each other, we can say, hey, watch out, you're going the wrong direction, and it be an encouragement, you know, as far as exhorting
one another,
exhorting one another and encouraging one another.
And that's the beauty of a friendship, first of all, because we are bonded together with Jesus Christ. It doesn't take us years to learn to trust one another and to value the Jesus Christ in each other. And so it can be something that we can be vulnerable with. I can come to you and say, Sharon, I know that you're my real friend. And if you see me slipping in an area where I may be blinded, you know my heart and my character, and you know it's not something that I would desire to do. But maybe pressures, being overwhelmed, being too busy, not stopping to wait on the Lord as he commands, can cause us to take slight detours.
Right.
And to have someone who will encourage you and pull you back on the straight and narrow is a rich blessing. And the Lord says from the scriptures, it's very well pleasing to him when he sees that we are willing to do that to one another. Then in knowing one another, the exhortation doesn't come across as harsh. It's just like part of encouraging one another is to know how to put on the armor. And we need that encouragement, because if we don't have our armor in place and understand it, then we open ourselves up to the enemy. And then to have a good mentor say, wait a minute, I don't think your attitude's quite right here.
Right.
They can be saving me from the fiery darts that will take me down and out if I am not being encouraged and standing fast.
And it also keeps us in check so that our hearts don't become hard in deceitfulness of sin.
And that is Hebrews 3:3-4 are such good chapters for this, because chapter 3 of Hebrews talks about when Moses was working with the people. And he says, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. And I was angry with that generation. They always go astray in their heart. And so for you to kind of be checking my heart, and I kind of be checking your heart. The other day I heard your heart being overwhelmed with too many things. And my loving encouragement to you was, chill. The Lord knows, and he will take care of it in his timing. And we found out within a couple of 2 hours, you did chill. You took that encouragement, and you found your issues that you needed to find, and everything was good.
And actually, the next day, just laying that aside and and saying, okay, it's not supposed to happen right now. The next day was a beautiful day to include my daughter in some of those things that I had to do. So it was really neat.
So it was all working together
yes.
for good. Well, I tell you what, keeping from being discouraged also helps us keep our perspective. And I think we've already in some ways covered that. But we need to realize that it helps us to be faithful. It helps us to keep our perspective. I've had a lot of dear acquaintances over the years, and many of these ladies have been single ladies. And I do want to give a loving, comforting statement, and that is, if you are single right now in your life, it is very hard to keep a correct perspective. Your mind wants to sometimes consider the worst. Or if you're alone, you may be letting loneliness overwhelm you. So if you are in a single status, and God may have you there by appointment, then it's all the more necessary to have another mentor to keep you yes. as a single person balanced, because one person alone is vulnerable to the subtlety of Satan's attacks without ever realizing it. But a twofold cord or a threefold cord is not easily broken. So I do encourage people.
That's a good point, Janie.
Mm-hmm. If they're single, they need to seek out someone that they can build a trusting relationship with to hold them on perspective. And then I just want to give a few things here. Encouragement makes it easier to live in a fallen world, but in a holy way. It lets us hold to the doctrines that we need to know and be able to apply. Encouragement gives us hope. Romans 15:4. Encouragement helps us through times of discipline and testing. And boy, when the Lord says, okay, test time, do I want my mentors close by?
Yes.
All right. Some waters we must walk alone.
Well, that's true.
Okay. And there's some things that the Lord will
but your mentor is not always there to give you advice or help you through physically, but your mentor is there to help you spiritually and in prayer.
And they're not there 24/7.
Absolutely.
So there are times that you will definitely need to deal with God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit one-on-one, and that would really be with your prayer life in the still small hours of the night or the morning. But to remember to cry out to him, he's there just a voice away 24/7. But the test times, the enemy can really make you feel overwhelmed and vulnerable in a way that you won't when you're maybe having enjoyable spiritual ministry and fellowship. Encouragement nurtures patience and kindness. Even telling the gentleman who is gathering all the our baskets at the local store out there in the cold and the wind, and he's getting all our little baskets to take back inside. Okay, I had an opportunity to just look at the face, look in the eyes, and I saw a very beaten down young man. And I just said, we so appreciate you taking care of our baskets for us. And I just smiled really big at him. And do you know, his countenance changed before my eyes. Somebody cared that he was out there in the cold and the wind retrieving our little baskets so that we could go shop. And just to say, we appreciate you, change the countenance of that person's face. We just don't realize, as like with Barnabas, encouraging for Paul, the difference that a life can make. And would it be something?
And Paul is still encouraging us today in the letters,
Scripture. And wouldn't it be neat to get to heaven and have different ones come up and say, your word of encouragement changed my life. Now, that may sound extreme, but if it worked for Barnabas, I believe it can still work for us if we're willing to be in obedience. Without encouragement, life would soon be pointless and burdensome if we just had to have the fight the whole time. And so without encouragement, we can be overwhelmed. So again, I'm going to give you this verse and let you kind of finish out for us. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb sweet to the soul, that would mean our mind, will, and emotions, and healing to the bones.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have for today.
This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Jenny Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.